So bad.
This camera setup is so crazy.
Right?
Now.
You have room.
That's why I said.
It's great.
There's so much room for activities.
So much room. We can bring in a kangaroo.
I know. I might do a cartwheel.
I'll leave that to you. I have done a cartwheel one time since graduating eighth grade and threw my neck out. So.
You salsa danced, though.
Yeah, I did. That was fun.
Yeah.
That was really fun. Another fun thing that Muddy River News lets
See?
You.
We try.
We need to do more field trips, though.
We try to do fun stuff.
We need to do more. Especially now that the weather is getting warmer.
We've got some coming up, right?
Yes.
Is that the kanga?
No, the kangaroo's going to be
Are you guys blowing the... You're ruining the surprise. Five, we got to start over now because that's a surprise.
The kangaroo is? Oh, sorry.
We talk so much.
Every day there's so much stuff.
We talk so much, and then, you're texting people, and then you get on 16 different text chains, and then you hope you didn't send it to the wrong text chain. So,
it's getting spicy.
I had somebody last night tell me a story about how they sent a woman who received a picture of her brother nude that was meant for the brother's girlfriend, and the brother immediately called her and said, "Delete that!" And she said, "Oh, no. I'm not deleting that." Oh. And he just got barbecued.
Okay,
for
that's
it.
Precisely. don't ever send nudes because that could happen.
No.
Also, I learned one thing. Not one thing. I learned a lot through my years. But so when I worked in a corporation, I got kind of a nasty gram from someone and went to respond. And it didn't go like reply. It went reply all.
Oh, yeah.
And it went to my entire corporation. And it was basically me shit talking someone. So there you go.
I am just learning email myself. I have to. I'm just now learning
so
email.
So here's a tip for you. Never put the to until your email is formulated. Read it and reread it and then put the to. That way if you accidentally hit, because there are shortcut buttons.
Yes.
So for anybody who doesn't know, if you hit like the wrong key sequence, it can shoot your email off and you're like, oh my God.
I send
it. So keep the to out.
To myself. I put my own in there. Because in case there's something I want and I send it, I want to make sure I have it. And I mean, I know I'd have it in send anyway in my sent file, but that's what I do. That's my thing. I do be off, I write, and then I put whoever I want.
I forward things and I'm like, oh my gosh, is everyone going to see that I forwarded this? I have no idea.
So so that's another good point. So when you forward something, you have to be wary of what is in the string below and who is receiving it and how are they going to take this? Because unfortunately, when you're communicating over text or email, emotion is not
tone. There's no tone there.
Yeah, it's just not conveyed. So you have to be aware of how this person's going to take it, how you took it. If it's emotional, I always try to tell people, especially people that I manage, leave emotion out, which I know sometimes is really hard. But just the facts, because otherwise emotions run high and you can't convey it.
There's no sarcasm button.
Right.
That's the thing.
Or you can be aggravated, but it comes across as passive aggressive, so just better to stick to the facts, I think.
Because in Brittany's case, I have, I'll send you guys work emails. Brittany's not the best at checking her emails.
I'm not either, because I'm desensitized to all the notifications.
Check it 4 times a day now.
Now. Since when? Because we just had the discussion earlier in the week, and I said, you need to check it 4 times a day, at minimum.
Okay, now I do.
I check mine hourly.
I check that's...
What's my job? What am I trying to do?
If I get a news release,
if I get a news release from like yesterday, I went home, had lunch, got ready to take my post-lunch nap, and this news release comes from the state's attorney and the police chief about the investigation was concluded on the shooting here in town, the police shooting. Okay, I can't go to sleep now, so I put that together. See?
Yeah, but you're really good at that.
Because you're
used to this. How long have you been in this game? Okay, you don't have to answer that. How long have you been in this game, Brittany?
10 minutes.
Ten minutes. So you're learning, which I fully respect. I'll go ahead and put it in like my real life stuff. I get notifications from this app called TeamStack, which I'm sure anyone involved in any extracurricular, they have kids in extracurricular, they're in this TeamStack. I get notifications maybe every 3-5 seconds. I get desensitized to it. So I'm like, okay. And then I get this text, didn't you get that?
Is this about like kid club sports stuff?
It could be club. It can be. So now you have team stack. So school sports, club sports, CYO, everything is in one thing. And you go into this team stack and pick your group that you want to be, but it's one notification. Like you get a notification for all of them. Mm-hmm. So
if so are you in other group texts like with all the sports stuff too? Or is it just team stack take up? So you have all of that.
It's everything. And then you're like, ah, well, I don't have time to deal with this right now. And then it's like the ninth hour and you're like, oh, shoot. I didn't realize my kid had
practice. You also have to remember when I started, there was no public internet. The internet was still a military-only thing. There was no cell phones. There was no email. There were no texts.
So how did you get those alerts, Abby?
You got a phone call on a landline. Generally,
he got a chiseled stone brought to him.
My first news scripts were typed on three sheets of carbon paper, and you type up your script, and you had your anchor script, and you had your producer script, and you had your director script.
Is that the kind you had to tear the things off of?
Yep. And we taped them together so you could put it on the teleprompter, because back then the teleprompter had a little bitty camera and the teleprompter was on a treadmill, and it rolled through the treadmill, and
you read
the teleprompter. On the treadmill.
I always took those things on the side and turned them into bracelets and necklaces.
There you go.
And then we edited audio tape where we used a razor and had to cut the tape and tape the tape to like, so like last week when I posted that video of you talking about when you were with Meg and it was the repetitive of,
I was trying to find that camera. Yeah.
If that were on an old reel video or audio tape, I would have had to have like cut and spliced and cut and spliced and cut and spliced. Like really cut. Not just take that
literally,
same clip.
Literally cut.
Not just take that little clip that you did and hit copy, paste, copy, paste, copy, paste, copy, paste five times.
Man.
In the DaVinci.
I
wouldn't have time. It'd taken me hours. I did that in like 10 minutes.
All right. So we take things for granted. So I'm not saying that it's a good thing, right? All of this, it's so impersonal, right? And you're trying to you're trying to weed out the important stuff, and it's almost impossible anymore.
But it is, but it has made, especially doing what I do, what we do, it's made it so much easier. Yeah. I mean, you know, you get your phone, and if there's a fire downtown, fire breaks out downtown, you take your phone, you do that. Back then, you were taking a camera that weighed 30 pounds, you know, took 30 pounds of gear and a 20-pound camera, and you're lugging it down the street. Oh, yeah. And three-quarter-inch videotape. Oh, yeah. And you had to go and do that. And I'm not old enough to have where I worked with video film editing. I always had videotape at journalism school, and they were my first TV and my TV jobs. And then while I was in TV in the 2000s, that's when we switched from three-quarter-inch tape to digital. And we could actually edit like we edit now.
Which I think is... I think that, you know, there's good and bad to everything. I think, of course, all the notifications and all of the almost impersonal communication and trying to figure out what people mean, that's kind of like the rough side of it. The good side is that it does make it relatively easy. Like the race that we had for all of the, you know, the primaries, tallying those votes seems to be... Right?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's good or bad.
Okay, this is the first time. This was actually the first time in the race that we're going to also talk about here in a little bit where actually all of the counties involved had everything online. Even a few years ago when I was helping out in Judge Brenner's race that he won, we had to call counties and because they didn't have their stuff online. And that was only, 4 years ago or whatever. Yeah, through 2020. That was in 2020 or 2021, whatever.
Yeah, the talliers.
Yeah. Yeah, you had to like call and have people. We had to have people there. Yeah, we had to have people there. Now, people still do that because they want to get the results faster. You have people who are at the polling stations and they get the numbers off the machine, they give you little tapes and so they can get it faster. But if you can still get that information, all five counties that we had to deal with to follow this state rep race, I had everything like that, and I was going to like work from home, or then I was going to run down to the victory party. But I was like, I have a really big screen here where I can fit everything on there, and I can just go boop 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 and take all the stuff off. So I did all the work here, went and did my interview, went home. I was home by 9 o'clock, which my wife said that is the earliest you've ever been home on an election night. Now, granted, there were not a ton of races going on. In November, there'll be a lot more stuff going on. But also, that's the nice thing is that about doing local races. I'm not, you know, we might run one story that says whoever wins the presidency wins. We'll probably put a story up that says that because it's the president. Fine. But everything else we do will just be the local races that, that matter to us. But we also have to deal with both sides of the river, too. You know, we got a governor's race over there. You know, again, we have the state rep race here. We have other races over here. But still, there's still a lot to do, and it'll be a long night. But it won't, again, I mean, back, remember Bush v. Gore? I mean, I was sitting there at watching the television in the Harold Wig newsroom until like 5 in the morning. And then I had to go be on television at WGEM to talk about it. I did.
You love that.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah. And I drank a lot of coffee because I didn't own my own company and I couldn't like just sit there in the newsroom and drink beer. Right. So I drank a lot of coffee and then I went on, like I said, I went on GEM Sunrise the next morning and said, I really don't know what's going on either. But, you know, it was, we were all up in the newsroom trying to cover all this. And still, newsrooms are still great places to be when there's big events or horrible events like September 11th. I was in the Herald League newsroom on September 11th. And it's like, oh, why is the World Trade Center on fire? It's horrible stuff like that. And great events and big life-altering historic events. There's no better place to be than in a newsroom because you are actually the ones who are helping chronicle history.
Yeah, which is really cool. Way to...
It is.
You just totally brought down the house there. I was like... Sorry. No. Sorry. No, I'm kidding.
Sorry.
So for the recent primary race, because I have my personal opinions, you know, I feel like there was no contest in certain areas, but were there any upsets that you?
Okay, I mean, when you're talking about the minutiae of politics, the grassroots of the grassroots is the precinct committeeman level. And there were a few races there that surprised some people. And basically, your precinct committee person in each party, they're the people who are going to decide who the party chairman are for each respective county. And they have a lot of, and they're really there for party support. And they're supposed to help advocate for their party. They're supposed to go, you know, make people aware to go vote. They're supposed to go door knock. They're supposed to support their party in general elections. And sometimes parties take sides in races, especially when there's incumbents. It's a normal thing for a party to support its own incumbent. So you have a lot of that going on. So that in the minutiae there were a couple of upsets, I guess you could call them. And, you know, I think Dave Bellis got a little bit of a scare in the county board race when those numbers were coming in. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Fisher gave him a heck of a run. But as far as anything else, no, not really. And again, I think when we, you know, the national, obviously everybody's eyes are on November for the national race because God, who the hell knows what's going to happen in the president's race.
I bet I can.
But who knows? Again, I wouldn't.
You're not going to stake anything on it? Like
I wouldn't bet money.
No bets on that?
No March Madness bets on the.
No. But I wouldn't be surprised if come November, one of the people on there's not one of the two men.
See, that's what I think.
Expect.
I think there's going to be, there are going to be some surprises.
But I'm also thinking that not necessarily, because a lot of people, we had talked about on a podcast a few weeks ago about perhaps not President Biden. There's a chance perhaps former President Trump's not there.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's in the pokey or something, who knows?
I think there are going to be surprises. And the only reason I think that is because it's going to garner a lot of attention, right? Which is part of it. You want to create a buzz but also keep things interesting, right? And you never know what's going to happen from day to day on, I guess, Capitol Hill. But in Quincy, we had you know, one of our own who I had no doubt that he was going to win and really win the primaries, because I don't want to like make it, I don't want to jinx anything.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah, yes. We'll talk about that. But I think it was I can predict a future. We'll say that.
And on that note, we'll talk to our guest here in just a minute.
The Liquor Booth is your home for a huge selection of beer, wine, and spirits. The Liquor Booth has two locations in Quincy, 3520 Broadway and 1500 North 12th Street. The Liquor Booth, where it's always happy hour.
A&B Properties is Quincy's largest apartment rental company with hundreds of units available. They offer short-term and long-term rentals with one up to four-bedroom apartments. A&B Properties meets the needs of its tenants with care, compassion, and a quality of service that exceeds expectations. A&B Properties also has a convenient tenant app for you to do your payments or make repair requests. Give them a call today. A&B Properties, 217-919-8080. Quincy. I'm editing that out too. So.
I'm like, okay.
God. When are we starting?
We're starting now. Are we starting? Now we're starting. Okay. And Brittany's going to do the interview, and I'm going to sit here and drink.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Okay.
We're both she's got lots of questions.
She does have questions, though.
Yes, she's got lots of questions.
She has questions. She's not. She's not a political beat reporter.
That's great.
You know, I'm. Am I the senior political reporter left in this community now?
The only.
Pretty much.
God, that's scary.
Pretty much.
Was your announcement on Muddy River first?
Well, let's remember that. We knew.
Let's remember that.
Yeah. Go ahead, yeah. We knew.
The last time you were on Club Muddy.
Coy.
Yeah.
That was.
I was sending the press release the next morning.
So.
It was already in my inbox to send.
But you promised Bob on that Club Muddy he'd be the first to know, was he? I don't remember.
Yeah, he was. Okay. Yeah.
Because he was really grilling you. I mean, he was really grilling you. And you gave
Listen,
me.
You,
he was unflappable.
He's been around, as he said. Like, he knows. Yeah, he knew.
You've been around, too, though. You answered pretty politician-like.
On the record.
Yeah.
He's been around.
It was on the record. Yeah.
I mean, you know, guys won an alderman's race.
Wait, this is a record? We're recording?
Yes.
No, we are recording.
Now we are recording.
Now we
yes,
are recording.
He's won an alderman's race. He's been mayor a couple of times. He's run two mayor's races. Now he's halfway home.
Halfway home.
For being our next state representative.
It's my fourth election.
This
was the primary. Yeah.
Yeah.
You count that as an election, right?
Yeah. Were you a precinct committee before you were an alderman?
Yeah.
Okay, so
but
technically,
I mean,
we had in before you were sitting in the green room when we were dealing with the minutia of precinct committee stuff, and
I've never had a race for that though.
Yeah. No. We had 23 contested
There's
ones
a lot.
On the Republican Party this
there was
time,
a lot.
Which I think that's a good thing because it shows people are active and passionate. It's much better than the Democratic side, which you
well, and it absolutely is. And speaking of, so throughout the 99th district, there were counties that people had forgotten to file for precinct committeemen. They have to ask afterwards. And so for Adams County to have a party that has active participants, I think is a good thing.
Yeah,
there's a lot of them that can't get anybody to run.
No, and again, I explained in my column why I'm no longer participating in primaries. But I believe if you don't have a reason not to, sure, find your race, find your person, do whatever. But the honest to God truth and the fact is, it's kind of tough being a Democrat in Quincy or Adams County these days because there's just not a lot of options out there.
And let's be honest, too. The precinct committeeman, you know, you vote for party chair, and you are supposed to be the ones getting out the vote. But other than that, there's not a lot of glory in it. And it used to be, and I when I was mayor, I would remind parties of this. It used to be that if there was an opening for county board or city council, that your precinct committeemen would get together and they would make the recommendation to the mayor or the county board chair. We took that as that has to be who you get, but state code does not have that anywhere in the process.
Chuck Schultz, once upon a time, did not accept
Robert Adrian.
He did, yeah. Robert Adrian, who we all know from him being a recent judge. They wanted him to be the 5th Ward Alderman, and that's who the Republicans recommended, and Chuck Schultz said no. Chuck Schultz put Mike Ryan in there.
Yeah, and so I was reminded—
And he's been there ever since.
Yeah, but I was reminded the precinct committeeman's like, hey, it's the mayor's and the council's decision or the county board. They're not just going to pick somebody who's going to go and disrupt and throw bombs and do all these things. Like, you really have to work within the system. So anyway, long story short, precinct committeeman, there's not a lot to do there. So the fact that people want to get active, I think, is a good thing because you're really doing the grunt work of the party apparatus.
So when it comes to throwing bombs, don't expect that nomination for 7th Ward Alderman anytime soon. We love you, but
I like my platform here.
We like you having your platform.
Platform here.
So, what other questions did you have for the?
I guess let's
candidate.
Start off with what was the voter turnout? That was something that was that something you expected?
Well, we thought for sure in Adams County that it was going to be low because at the at the get we were the only really race on the ballot.
But you're not just
No.
Adams
so
County.
So we thought Adams County would be low, but that Morgan County, they had three countywide races on the ballot. So we thought that it would be higher in Morgan County percentage-wise. The other counties the same. They really didn't have a lot of races on the ballot. So, but actually throughout the district, I think it was pretty much the same.
Yeah.
You know, so I was a little bit surprised that it wasn't a larger uptick in Morgan County. But I think, you know, that the presidential race being over so soon really drove the turnout being low on both ends, Republican and Democrat.
No question about it.
Yeah.
Like it was low as, like, how low?
17%.
But this is the average normally.
For a primary in the 20s, usually?
30, 25, yeah. But I think the scary thing is, like, for me, I had friends that I had texted to early vote. Oh, yeah, I'm going to get around to it. And then they didn't. And then for some, you know, about 2 o'clock, I'm like, I mean, you know, you get this hunch. Hey, I need to text this person. Because you don't want to bug them, but this is kind of the day to do it, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then I had one person, like, and I saw this person that morning, and they're like, oh, is that today? And I'm like, yeah, we just talked about it. And they're like, oh, well, I'm going to go do that now. So you just, even the people that are intimately connected with you, they kind of let it go because there's nothing else going on right there.
There's just no sense of urgency.
Yeah, I will say it really you appreciate your friends who say, you know what, I forgot about that. My husband's getting off work at 3 o'clock. I'm gonna pick him up, and we're gonna go vote for you. Mm-hmm. I mean, you really know who shows up for you and who doesn't, especially when the only reason why they're voting is to support their friend. And so it really warms your heart when people do that. And I had a lot of that yesterday's or Tuesday, I guess.
Okay, so outside of, you know, people that are near and dear to you that vote. Okay, so how do we get people, you're a younger person. How do we get younger voters out there?
Well, I think you have to have races that people, you know, care about. And here's the thing, this is a Republican district if we're talking about the state representative race. There was not a lot of difference between my opponent and I if you actually walk down the issues, right? I mean, so there wasn't like, oh, if I vote this person and they're going to be 180 degrees different than my view on the Republican side. We didn't have that. Where in a general election, you do have a choice between a yin and a yang, right? And so that really stokes passion up. And so I think if to get people out, you have to have people run for office. And we just don't have a lot of people running for office anymore.
Last year, when we had the last presidential election, we had like 75% turnout in the general, which is great. And that's
fantastic.
In general elections, we usually do really well in general elections. But the last few primaries, when there hasn't been a lot of stuff going on, and I remember, when I referred earlier to helping out with Judge Brenner's race, that was just when COVID was getting ready to hit. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were all like wondering what the heck was going on. There were people talking about they were going to cancel the election. And it's like, well, and then Governor Pritzker's like, well, no, we're not going to cancel the election. We're going to proceed. And then, you know, basically we had the election, and then the next, and within a week, you know, we had really shut down. There were a few places you could go hide, Spring Street Bar, if you still wanted to, you know, go see your friends.
That's not true.
Whatever.
I think the tough part is, you know, we just had Greta in the chamber and district just had a politics and pancakes with village mayors, village presidents today. And, you know, in talking to a couple of them, it's hard to find somebody to run for mayor in their town. And because, you know, they've got such a small base to pull from, we even see in the city of Quincy, we've had uncontested alderman races recently.
Sure.
Where it used to be you'd have contested alderman races every time out. So it's just, it gets harder to get people to run for office. And so then if you talk about getting people out, well, you get people out because you care about the race or you know somebody that's running.
You mentioned contested races. Obviously, we're going to have a contested Republican mayoral primary. Do you have your fence saddle ready for that?
I'm noncommittal.
That's what I figured.
And as Greta president, I'm noncommittal on, you know. So I will meet with any candidate that's running for office to talk to them about what's important for economic development, to give my pitch for Greta, and then at the end of the day, we're going to work with whoever wins.
Well, and you talk about working with whoever wins. Again, should the Democrats not put – the other thing I talk about that we had spoken about earlier is, as of right now, you do not have a Democratic opponent.
Correct.
The committee chairs for each of the 5 respective counties could come together and appoint one.
Correct.
We don't know if that's going to happen yet.
Yeah.
So if they don't, and you run, and what's the deadline for that? I'm sure you know.
I don't. It's
what do you mean you don't know?
It's sometime in June or July.
Shut up.
It's sometime in June or July. And actually, no, I haven't looked at it. I'm only 2 days into
when that'd have been the first thing I'd looked at. Okay, what's the deadline? What's the deadline?
No,
okay.
It's June or July.
So if you do not have an opponent in November, and you... then you become our next state representative.
Because no one's running against...
Because we don't have a Democrat yet. So right now, it's him. You get over there, you are going to be in a super minority.
Yeah.
That's no fun. Is it?
I love it.
Well, I mean... I think it's fun to be a part of the process. And I think if you keep your expectations... But I also think that, listen... I've seen here in Quincy, we've been in some situations where we needed the other side of the aisle to get things done.
Yeah.
And I talked about on the campaign, the Villanoy Veterans Home is first and foremost. Yeah. I mean, we had people wanting to close it down, and it would have been a great campaign issue for whomever to say, you know what, they had Legionellas, it was killing veterans, they deserve better, we're going to close that home down.
Yeah.
And that took a lot of work behind the scenes to get things done. Even, you know, Jill Tracy's working on, and that's a big ticket item, Jill Tracy's working on right now a bill that would keep daycares open, the ability to do 24 hours.
Oh, wow.
And that's because right now they can only be open 23 hours. And that's a stipulation in the law. Now, that is an idea that I think most people, Republican or Democrat, can get behind and know that we have a child care shortage in Illinois. Well, that's something good ideas I don't think own or are not owned by one party or another.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, the Tip O'Neill, there's politics are local and there's no Democrat. And Schultz always used to say there's no Democrat Republican way to fix a pothole. So there are just certain ways. There are certain things just need to get done.
Yeah.
And the partisan gloves need to come off, and you need to say, okay, let's work together and get this done. Because one of those other issues that we want to get done around here, of course, is the Quincy Bay Project, which is really on the fast track. Senator Durbin and Senator Duckworth have both worked on it and have both helped. Glenn Sanders says that Congresswoman Miller has also been very supportive.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something else. And again, that's a federal project, not a state project. So, but still, that's something that is going to be huge for this community. And again, if you went to that meeting, I don't know, you went to the meeting?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean... 500 some people there
when they usually had a turnout of like 50.
Right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so I think the Corps looked at that and went, holy crap, this is, yeah, people want this.
But what you know, for the state, and I know we talked about this beforehand, is like, what does a state representative do?
That's what my question was.
I knew you were going to ask that. So first and foremost, your state representative is there to be there to help you navigate things in state government. So, for example, we had for FOID cards that are in the process of being renewed, and they haven't heard anything back. If you think about your driver's license, things like that, whenever you encounter a state agency and it's not operating in a way that you need it to, you contact your state representative, your state senator. But there's going to be a lot of state projects, road projects throughout Broadway, for an example, is going to be redone, and that's going to cause a lot of that's going to cause a lot of inconvenience. Well, let's say that you are a business owner, and they block the exit to and from your business. That's not good. So you'll contact your state representative or state senator and say, hey, do you think that IDOT could move that exit? Let people come to and from. So it reminds me a lot about being when I was on the city council. Because the city council, every Monday night I showed up to vote for whatever was on the agenda. Mm-hmm. And you talked about that ahead of time, and you took what constituents said, how they felt about things, and you took that into consideration and you voted. But most of the time it was about, hey, I need a tree cut down. I need – my garbage did not get picked up. I remember one lady, after it snowed, said that she had been in her house for 4 days. This was the 2010 large snow.
Yeah.
And she said, Kyle, I just need to get my hair cut. And so can somebody come and plow my alley, because I got a hair appointment.
So
those are the calls that you got, So anyway, it reminds me of that, but on the state level.
But okay,
you'd be mean, but you'd say, hey, I got my hair done.
No.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You would do.
Okay, but so it sounds like you're answering a lot of emails all the time, which we just got done talking about, which that's so much fun. Sounds like a full-time job. So, is what you're running for, because I've been doing a little bit of research, is it a full-time job?
It's a part-time job. It's okay. A part-time by its nature, and about 70% of the 70% of the state legislators will have full-time jobs.
Is state okay? So then, I could be confusing, I guess, state rep with like your
state senator.
No, with like the federal level, but I thought there were 12 states that were listed that according to something.org, that 12 states state that. It's a full-time job.
It's not.
The governor's office has told me it is considered a part-time job.
It's considered a part-time. So, for an example, there are mayors that are in the state house. There are firemen. There are policemen. There are doctors.
School superintendents.
Yep.
In the past.
Mm-hmm.
In the past.
Which that seems like a conflict. I mean, I don't know, but that seems like
so
a conflict.
Okay, so full-time job, it's not a full-time job. It's a part-time job. Your other job is a full-time job. Mm-hmm. How do you plan on managing this?
You know, so that's something that our board is talking about now, and we've been very upfront with our members about weighing, you know, keeping me involved in the organization. I absolutely love economic development and have really enjoyed my time working for the board. And so basically it's a board decision on how we want to move forward. Had to wait until this last election, wait to see what happens in November. We have some time. At the end of the day, I tell people, I can't. This last year, the House and Senate, if you take from June until December, were only in Springfield 6 calendar days.
Yeah.
I'm too young to sit at home from June until December.
So and are you getting... Are
sounds
you gonna,
like a lot of Dodger games.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Are you going to get an apartment in Springfield?
No. So I will... I expect to be working and have another job. You know, hopefully it'll be in some capacity with Greta. If it doesn't, that's okay. And the organization didn't sign up for that. But if
because
it's
you're going to be answering a lot of emails. Yes,
but if it's not, at the end of the day, my intent is to work and be a state legislator because I like working.
Did you see your board chair was on Frankie's show?
I saw that. I haven't watched it yet. Was it just posted today, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
You haven't watched it yet?
Well, you know. Well, he's not my board chair anymore, but he's my former board chair.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the new board chair came in with the last meeting.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, Alan Schaefer, yeah.
Okay, real quick, go back to Gretiff. Yep. I know we did it before. What does Gretiff do? Like, explain it to me.
Yeah, so we look out for the long-term economic vitality.
Explain it to
yep,
me.
I'll give you this in a minute, in a second here. So for Quincy Adams County, but basically we're looking at what makes an economy tick,
mm-hmm.
how do we keep it growing, and what I tell people is like we're the long game for a community. So you have the, if in the football analogy, you have the plays that are
sports.
I like sports.
Yeah, right. they're like the 1 yard plays or the you know 5 yard pass. We're like the hey, we're gonna do a Hail Mary.
Okay, so. What Hail Marys has Gretiff done?
Full of grace, the Lord's with thee. Blessed art thou among women.
Well, I'll give you just a few different ways. So first, we worked with Trimark. We worked with United Alloy to bring those facilities into the city of Quincy. United Alloy is building a 200,000 or 200,000 square foot facility.
This is just recently, right?
Just recently. Okay. Yeah. And that was right after I was on your – or before I was on your show last time. Mm-hmm. But right now, for an example, we're working – I just left a meeting for a program called FAME. That we started a Great River FAME chapter, and this is we're working with 5 area manufacturers to develop a earn and learn model with John Wood Community College where kids can be an advanced manufacturing technician. They go to school 2 days a week. They work 3 days a week. They start off making $21 an hour right out of high school. At the end of this 2-year program, they're going to be making over $63,000 a year, and we're going to be equipping these students with the skills that are needed from our local employers. And so we are doing that with manufacturers. We're also doing that right now with our companies that have IT professionals, so we're trying to start a tech talent program. So we have these conversations of what does our community need to keep our employers happy and moving in the right direction, and then we try to bring people together to figure out how we can solve that problem.
So do you work with, I guess, John Wood regularly, and then do you work with QU too?
Yes, we work with QU. Yeah, we work with QU.
So a lot of it is, I guess, keeping those students here. So
that's correct. And for an example, my first year, we worked with the state's attorney's office to do a program called Adams County Empowered, which was a probation to work program. So how do people on probation who are unemployed find work here? Well, we brought employers together who needed skilled labor, mm-hmm. and created a program for that.
Is that something then does like the schools, I mean, I understand like businesses then pay GRDF mm-hmm. to help. Mm-hmm. Like that is how GRDF is funded.
Our members.
For correct. The most part, mm-hmm. right?
Correct.
Okay. And then it's also funded, just real quick though, it through
the county and the city. So the county and the city compose 35% of our budget.
Okay.
And the rest are through membership dollars.
Okay.
But for an example, I'll just give you something today. We were made aware of a Google grant that nonprofits can apply for search engine marketing. And you can get up to $10,000 a month in search engine marketing dollars. We applied for that on behalf of the city and county and are able now to get $10,000 a month to help our search engine marketing efforts. What does that do? When people look at, hey, I'm looking to move to Quincy or Adams County, we have better search engine results yeah. that way. And so that's not anything the city or county paid for, but because we were a nonprofit, we were able to apply, and that's $120,000 of value that they get. But we also, for an example, we do the Quincy's Calling administrative work for the city. We do a number of things.
Quincy's Calling, and that's different outside of the C Quincy, right?
Yes. Yeah.
But so they're working together. Well, like on that. I
Quincy's
know.
Calling, and then you've also got the QRAP program, which yep. is going to come to an end here.
Yes, that's correct.
Because we have a new employee starting. You want to make sure we get him taken yeah. care of with that.
What's but that's QRAP?
That's the money they pay for the
relocation
rental.
Assistance program.
So that's ending?
It's up to the council. I think the city council and the administration are planning on what next to do.
We've been told by the administration we better get our guy in here and get his application in by the end of April.
That, yeah.
is what
but,
we've been
but
told.
But for an example, what we do when the council and administration are saying that we think that we've had 3 years of Quincy's Calling and QRAP, we now have a budget cycle. We want to know how we can best invest dollars to bring tech or to bring talent here. We convened employers. We had two meetings with area employers to sit down and say, okay, did this program work for you? Did it not? What are you seeing that's working in other communities? What would you like the city to do to help you bring people here or to help you fill jobs? And then the city takes that information, they take it back to the city council, and then they come up with the program. So that's kind of, just another example of what we do.
Gotcha.
Just when you get to Springfield, should you not get an opponent and should lightning not strike and you end up being in Springfield? Just a few things. Number one, yeah. whenever energy lobbyist Alec Messina shows up, give him the bill.
There you go. Yeah.
That would be at J.P. Kelly's. That yeah. would be at Brown's. Yeah. That would probably be at Boone's.
Okay.
So those are good.
Pass that bill along.
Tell Messina.
Yeah.
You know Messina. You
yeah, yeah.
You've got the Rottwater Project.
That's right.
When he yeah. was EPA head.
That's right. Compliments of Mr. Goff.
He's a dear friend of mine. So,
yes.
But yeah, so that's, I just want to joke about that. But no, yeah. We want to thank you for your time.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we'll be talking again shortly and many times as you, again, you always run like you're one vote down, right?
That's right.
That's the strategy.
It's been fun.
So, all right. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Cheers.
Cheers.